Welcome, ladies and gents, to the Grim and Bloody Podcast. This show is a presentation of horror, thriller, and suspense, and is intended for a mature audience. Join us at your own risk.
Welcome to the Grim and Bloody Podcast for a rare Sunday morning. My name is Kevin Nicholson, writer for HorrorNews.net, We Belong Dead magazine, Scary Monsters magazine, the whole bit. And with me is our usual crew, Al Omega, the Creature Feature Show host. Al, how are you?
Well, you know, I saw some guy out in my lawn here with a bunch of little plastic Easter eggs.
Uh-huh.
He says it's chocolate he's putting in them. I don't think that's what it is, so I can shoot him away.
So at least
are
it's
you
good.
Sure he's not, are you sure he's not cutting your lawn for you?
No, he's not cutting the lawn. That's not what he's doing.
So is at least he's thinking of good tidings for you and not thinking of murder, this is a horror show, so like some of the characters we would see in movies. A vengeful Easter Bunny and a happy Easter to everyone out there. Anthony Durone, the producer of this show and a director in his own right.
Glad to be here. Uh-huh. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter, everyone.
And with us today, we have an icon of horror cinema. One of our favorite people as an actress, and she continues to do the ghoulish deed all the way from the United Kingdom, that is Miss Pauline Payard.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and a happy Easter to everyone.
Thank
you for having me.
Thank you. And we're going to be talking about all things Dracula and Frankenstein and maybe even a little bit about Miss Payard's career. You're in... not necessarily horror related, but you're in one of my favorite films, Cuba.
Yes, Richard Lester, yes, and Sean Connery and Brooke Adams, yes.
You get to work next to Sean Connery. Wow, how much better is that? I mean, you know, that is something else. But we'll get to it. First of all, my usual first question is, were you always, even as a child growing up in Jamaica, were you always interested in film? Did you have something that piqued your interest to get into acting?
I loved going to the movies on Saturdays. My parents used to let me go, or they would take me. And I normally say to them, one day I'm going to be up there. You'll see my face instead of his or hers. And when we came to England, my drama teacher at school thought, she kept saying, oh, you're a natural. You can do all sorts of things. You can't do it, but the minute you get on the stage, you can make a damn fool of yourself. That's it, her exact words. But every other time you sit in a corner with a book and that's it. Say nothing. But the minute I say, Pauline, get up there and do this, it's like another person. And I said, oh, I don't think so. She said, then why weren't you talking to the others over there in the corner instead of sitting alone? I was that type of person. I still am.
Wow. So you're kind of, you like to observe the room rather than actively participate in it.
Yes, but I like to make people comfortable. Even when I go to the events, I am happier talking to the people. But then after that, I back away.
Well, I can imagine someone backing away, you know, with if you have your requisite fangs on and so forth. Let's talk a bit. I see from looking at your resume, you kind of came into the business on television. Your first works, like the Fire Chasers, you had an uncredited role on that, and then you had another small part that you did for the Persuaders. And it was really as you kind of got your legs, as it were, in the acting in the acting business, that you got picked up by Hammer to play the one of the vampire girls in the Satanic Rites of Dracula. Was this the situation where you were modeling and Hammer noticed you?
I started out modeling and doing commercials, like vodka commercials, Coca-Cola for Africa. But I did a lot of fashion shows, and I also used to present other artists for shows, live shows, musicians, people like Bob Marley, Jackie Edwards, Dandy Livingstone. They were all Jamaican artists, and the Wailers, which are relative too. And so, yes, I did that. But I was in a play called Birds of Paradise with Maury Lister and Robert Coote in the West End. I also lived down the road from Roy Skeggs, and he said, I'd like you to do this for me. And I said, okay. So that's how I got into Dracula. And I was able to do the film and do the play at the same time. Because I did a lot of plays first. Things, shows like Equus, The Balcony, No Sex Please, We're British, which is a comedy. And then I did other plays and tours and then moved on from there. From Dracula, I did Cuba, as you know, and other types of films. And as I got better at it, you might say, and learned from a lot of the people that I was working with, and they were generous with their time as well, it became easier. And I used to go out to the studio and meet up with Roy and a few other people that I knew. And they said, oh, you should do it. Don't just stick to modeling, just go for it. And I said, okay. And so the theater taught me a lot. Robert Coote taught me a lot. And other directors and other actors that I worked with. And so I had met Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing many times at the studios while I was out there, while I was on other things. So there you go.
Well, so you, thinking about it, I recall in speaking to Veronica Carlson, and that Christopher Lee, you talked about, you know, working with actors, and it kind of connects with getting knowledge from actors in the film work that you're doing on set. I recall that she told me that Christopher Lee, of all the people that she had worked with, that he stood out for her for one reason, which was he gave her eye line, which is very important for for a young actress to know where to look as far as how to act and react as far as the camera shot is concerned. And she said that that's something that not a lot of actors will give to you or will take the time to give to you on a shoot. Was there anything that Christopher had told you or took you aside or just, just in a subtle way gave to you an acting skill or an acting piece of advice?
Well, my scenes were never with Christopher Lee, but I had met him on numerous occasions.
Okay.
And Alan Gibson, he did that. And Robert Coote on stage said, never turn your back on the audience unless it is meant for you to do so. Mm-hmm. And since you're as tall as I am, only ever look me between the eyes. And so, yes, he was tall and he was able to give me the same information that Veronica got from Christopher. And on set, Gibson, the director, would say to me, look, show me what you want to do here. And I would, and he said, your head is still just a fraction too high. Bring it down and look as if you're looking across. And my head is by my shoulder. And so that was really good for me because otherwise I was looking up and it was not right. And so I was able to do it throughout. But the one thing I remember while we were shooting that cellar scene, and I wore contact lenses, as you know, in those days they were hard. And the water kept pouring down onto my face, onto my eyes, and so I just couldn't take it. So I said, can I just lie there? And after a while, I'll close my eyes and scream and do everything else because it was burning and I could not take any more of it. And
that sounds tough.
So it was tough. And he said, that'll be fine. And it will work. Actually, it'll work better. Because you're twirling, you're wriggling, you're doing everything else. And so, yes, it worked for me. And he was brilliant and let me go with it. And I went with it and I did it. So there you go.
I was just remembering. Go ahead, Al, please.
I was going to say, you're talking about giving the eye line there, Christopher Lee being quite tall. Can I ask how tall you were back then?
5'10" and a half, and with shoes, I was looking him in the eye when we were talking, while talking.
Wow.
So I'm pretty tall. Shrunk a bit since then. I'm probably not as tall as you are now. But with heels, mind you,
with heels, you're still taller than I am.
Brilliant.
You're still taller than I am. And for our listening guests here, we had a few moments here of actually getting to see you on camera. And I said something, and I'm going to say it again. You are just as lovely as you were back then. In fact, I just watched Satanic Rites of Dracula. I don't think I've ever seen it before, somehow. I don't remember at any rate. And you were obviously the really hot one in that one. You stood out.
Wow. I don't know. I was tall and still slim and looked pretty good.
You're still slim.
Well, yeah, it was beautiful. I thank you for that. A great compliment. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you because you, for years, when I had seen you, ever since I'd first seen you on the screen in Dracula, I had always thought that you were the first person of color to portray a vampire. And this was Dracula, Satanic Rites of Dracula was at a time when there was this so-called black exploitation, movement going on in film.
Yeah,
where black vampires were all.
Yes, there were not that many black. In fact, there weren't any black. And prior to that, we had the one with Dracula AD, which was just before Satanic Rites, which working title was Dracula's Dead and Well and Living in London. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when it became Satanic Rites, it was good. It was the first time they had a black artist, and Roy kept saying, "I'm having her," and Don Hoyton, who wrote it, said, "It's for her. You took away the other one and we've got to have her." And Gibson said, "I'm serious about this. She's going to play it." And so I did it. And that was amazing. And that's probably even why United Warner didn't put it out for a year or so, 2 years later.
Right. Now, I found out that actually you were not the first artist of color to play a vampire, but it actually occurred in Mystery and Imagination, the British series of the late 1960s, with their version of Dracula. There's an actress by the name of Nina Baden Semper.
Nina Baden Semper, yes.
Yes. And, but I was thinking, though, when you were cast in Satanic Rites, that you had to have a little bit of a moment where you were thinking that this is a role of some cultural importance, of significant cultural importance. And I wanted to just get your view on, did you feel that in some way?
No, as I said, because I knew Roy and I was doing the West End play, it was opening doors for black artists to be seen in films, because you can't be in an area where you're killing off people and you pass a black woman and not kill her too. She looked like a woman. She was a woman. She had blood, and you're going to have it.
That would be so 2024 if they did that.
It was significant at the time to have a black artist. It's the same with the Bonds. They wouldn't have me because I was not black enough. And so it was a no-no. And I'll just jump to another thing, the Carry On that I did. They had never had a black actress. And so when I did it, I decided that I was going to have my hair done differently. It wasn't going to be the norm. And it came across. And so again, that opened more doors because it was easier for American artists to struggle but still get parts. Here it was really, really difficult.
Well, I must say that considering the stars of the day, the black exploitation craze, if there was ever a film that was conceived to put together you versus Pam Grier, my money is on you. My money is on you. If you ever had to do a take your earrings off and do a takedown with Pam Grier, my money is on you, much as I adore Pam. But I think that you had that strength of personality in whatever film you did. I've seen the Carry On film that you're talking of, which I can't stop laughing through, as far as that goes. And of course, I've seen the Dracula film, and you really project a presence.
Well, the one thing another director said to me is, when you walk on that set and you know your lines, you know you've got that, don't just rush it. Just take that second and hold the camera for that second. And then start. You've got it. And yes, I've learned that. That was very, very strong. When Gibson told me the same thing on Dracula, I realized that scene with Joanna Lumley, where I was supposed to bite her. Yes. I just held that moment, looked at the camera as if I'm ready. My thoughts are, I've got her, she's mine. And then went into it. And he said, that's the scene, that's the shot of that whole dungeon. That is it, apart from when you're about to get wet, chained up. And then you've got it. I'm only doing the one take. You've got it. It's spot on. So yes, I learned a lot from them. And I'm really grateful even now. Because I am playing this high priestess in Dracula Rise of a Vampire. And been mapping the scene out and working on it, and now I'm ready.
So you do have many projects that are coming up. I want to talk so much about Richard Lester and about Cuba and so forth, and I'm working with Sean Connery, but this is a horror related podcast, so
let's just talk about the horrors, the horrors.
I mean it seems that you have either a passion for the horror genre to continue to want to work in it, or you have a passion for getting a paycheck.
I
feel like that's a shared passion.
A paycheck. We at the start only. It was a job. Uh-huh. I could have been doing burgers or the hairdresser or the makeup artist. But it was a job because you were here, you were there, you get in, you do your scene. And that's it. There were no residual. There was no repeat fees. It was, you're paid for this job. We're doing we will be doing so many days. And if you think about it, Hammer had what? 6 to 8 weeks? 8 weeks. And if the others were lucky, they might get 2 or 3 takes. But normally, one with a pickup, one for something else, and that's it. So One had to get into the studio, get ready, and remember that they don't have the amount of money they do now for films. And so it was a paycheck. And you move on to the next one. You forget that the minute you're finished. And you have something else lined up, whether it was a television, a chat show, a hostess on something else, some light things. Even the funny thing of being seen in the play prior to doing Dracula. An Indian film company, the Khan family, were there, and they said, please, will you do this dance in this film? I said, I can't do those Bollywood dance. I'm hopeless. He said, no, we'll teach you for a whole week, and then we will film it. And they whack my ankles, my waistline so many times, I got a little fan. No, move that way. So yes, I know all about a paycheck. And it's not only me, I think every artist at that period were doing it. They loved their work and it was a job. And that was it.
Well, you seem to manage to project in whatever you were doing at the time, and even now, that you're having a sense of fun along with it. And that's kind of what I like, and I disdain anytime I see an actor who looks like they're just doing it for the money and so forth, because that may be the practical, you know, thinking, that may be what the obvious is, but the audience doesn't need to see that,
yeah.
As far as that goes. So what I enjoy is that you seem to have fun in what you are doing, even if you are taking a check.
I loved every minute of it. It was a job, but at the same time, I wanted the person or the people at the time watching it to be there with me, to have fun, and to see that if you're enjoying your work, it will. You're enjoying it. You're enjoying interrogating me now. You're enjoying it. So I can hear it. And it's coming across. And that's what I wanted. And I was fortunate, my manager was really very good in that I got credited for everything I did. And whether I was on the cutting floor, I think parts of me are still lying somewhere on cutting floors, but I didn't care. It said Pauline Peart.
I wanted to go back a minute, Pauline, and you mentioned, you know, you did it for a check. Because we're even here, you know, 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning on the west coast of the U.S. talking about your previous horror work should show the amount of fandom that surrounds these films. And I'm sure, you know, Al and Kevin agree that a lot of the actors that we've probably talked with here that did the classic films, they probably signed on because it was a paycheck as well. It was work, you know, they were starting out. The script sounded pretty decent, you know, they were on screen and they got to see the film afterwards. It probably wasn't until much later where they realized the fans just can't get enough of this. You know, the fans love this so much that they want to talk to you about your previous work. And many times that leads to new work, because what happens? You're back out in the scene again, right? You're on shows, your pictures, your posters are being shared everywhere. I don't know about the other genres, if comedy, you know, for example, has this kind of sway, or if general action genre has this sway, but with horror, as we've seen, it's, you know, there's conventions all over. You know, we've talked to people who have been in maybe one or two scenes in a famous movie, and that's been enough
to jumpstart and maintain their career and open doors for other places. So I'm just constantly amazed at the not the craze, because it's a fun atmosphere, but just the amount of enthusiasm that surrounds the films, and we just want to know more about it. We want to talk to the actors and the filmmakers behind it. It's just, I'm just glad I am into horror, really.
I do too. I love horror films. I was allowed to watch them as a child growing up, and I loved it. I love Cushing. I love just watching him and Christopher Lee. And they stood out for me. It's like they made horror, horror. Even at that time as well, they were not making a lot of money either, but they loved the part. They loved the character. And yes, they've done lots and lots of other things too, but those parts stands out in people's mind. And when I go to some of these events, I am amazed. I saw and met a chap in Darkfest last November with Caroline, and I were there, and Martin, and he said, I have been waiting for 15 years, actually it's 20, because I was young then, to meet you. And I told my wife that when I meet you, I'm just going to kiss you. And she stood there, and he walked up, and he's saying this, and he kissed me, and then he walked back, and she said, thank God it's over now. So I said, no, I've got to have a picture with both of you. And I hope you brought the picture you have on the wall of me, and so I can sign it and say forever a friend. And she said, of course, I brought it. He left it. He forgot it. He was so busy getting ready to get out. I brought it. And I said, but would you do, let's take a picture together and then I'll sign both. How's that?
That's nice.
And I did. And he, half the time, as soon as he went to see something else, he came back. So I got to know them very well in one day. So we planned to meet in Maggie. As you know, I do this Maggie with Caroline Monroe, and who is part of the Maggie Trust for Children with Cancer and Aftercare. So. He says, we're coming down. And someone had flown in from Spain and another from Ireland, had never met me, but they knew more about me than I knew about myself.
So I want to ask you about, you've got a whole plethora of new things coming up. Give a talk about them. You are beginning work or have just completed work with young up-and-coming talents like Miles John Dalton and Nicolai Maldon. You've got Crypt of Evil. You had Vengeance of Dracula. And
let me see if I can start somewhere for you. I have just finished Pockets of Superstitions, in which I play a clairvoyant and poor Tommy Lee Rutter, and that's out at the moment, and it's all about superstitions and clairvoyancy and people not walking on the ladders, and it's really good. That's out. I have Slasher 3, which is a killer thing. I did the voiceover for that on it throughout. That will be coming out in a month's time. I'm going to do Dracula, Rise of the Vampire, in which I will start in May and finish somewhere in June. And that will be interesting. And then I will do John Dalton 1, Miles. We will go to Chicago to film that. And then come back and do Frankenstein. So that's cutting it short. That's it. There's a poster, which I think you might have seen. If not, I'll send it to you. And because he's having them printed, because that's going to be the poster for the billboard and all that. So that will be out later on this year. So yes, I was fortunate. I was asked at the convention I went to, which was a horror on sea convention, and he said, please say yes to me. So I said, why do you want me to say yes? Okay, yes. Now tell me what it's about. And he said, well, you've said yes now, so I'll get back to you on that. 2 weeks later, he said, I've written this part in for you, and you've already said yes. And we're going to be shooting it at this.
Oh, wow. He wrote the part in for you.
Yeah. And it was a creepy house.
That has to be a bit of a cringe, though, when you say yes before you know what the part even is.
There you go. But then he said, I'm going across to have a word with Caroline, and seeing the both of you here is wonderful. So he said to Caroline, I went across, she said yes. So can you say yes? So she said, okay, yes, I'll be fine, yes. What is it? He says, right, I'll get back to you too. 2 weeks later, we got the dates and we got scripts.
That is awesome.
So,
but did you receive
him? Wonderful. He is absolutely incredible.
Did you have Caroline give you a phone call afterwards saying, what did we just sign up for? Do you know?
No, we meet up, we see each other a lot, and she said, have you got any idea about this? I said, no, but maybe Danny Thompson might know, because she was a witch in it. So maybe it's a bit of this, that, and the other, because I couldn't think of anything. And then she says, I'm playing a witch. I said, I'm playing a clairvoyant, a medium. She says, oh, good. Well, let's get to it then. So that's how she's in it. And then I'm in it. So that's out. And that's exactly what Miles said to us. Will you be available for June and July? I'd like you to do Crypt of Evil for me. And
what was it called? Crypt of Evil?
Crypt
of Evil. Like Crypt of Evil. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do notice that you get to work on Crypt of Evil with the great, the iconic Lone Fleming. You know, who, for folks who don't know, she's a Euro horror star, an icon. Oh, yeah.
I met her same time last November at Dark Fest, which is a horror festival that Alan Price does. She is phenomenal. She is wonderful. She's so beautiful. She's lovely.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. She certainly is. And we talk from time to time or send texts. She is in his next film as well, too. So, yes, it's going to be great. All these amazing people.
If you get in touch with Miles, we would love to have him and you all back on our show to talk more about Crypt of Evil and have a horror conversation as we all can. Yeah. We would love to have you back on.
I will speak to him after I will finish with you.
Thank you.
Because he sent a text to say, have a great time. And I had sent him a message telling him to have a word with you, but I would also speak with you and you could then have words with him and then decide, and we would love to.
Yes, and I would love to find out, how he has this this wonderful magic trick that he can convince people to do roles without telling them what the role is.
Yeah. Does that also work in Hollywood? You just walk up to him, he's like,
you
will
have
movie.
Fun. I know. And that's how I've been following you. I've seen everything. I can tell you this. And he does know. But he has the most amazing voice as a director, producer, and actor as well. And so whenever he decides to speak with us, an hour, 2 hours, he never talked about the film. The film will be, you're going to love it. It's going to be fine. I've just finished the parts on the script. I'm having a look at it. I'm reading it through. And you will get it shortly. And so this is, it's been fortunate for us. And anyway, we're in London. And I said, are you coming to London to see us? He says, hell no. You vampires will eat me alive. I won't have any blood to go back to Chicago with, and I'm going to need it.
Well, I can say that that as far away as us in Northern California, you have three fans here of your work.
Absolutely,
yes.
And when I come out there, I'm going to come. Because I've got to see Kleinstein for Little Shop of Horror. And so when I get out there, I'm going to call you beforehand.
There you go.
Yes, please.
I would love to meet you.
I would love to meet you all. And I want to be there. So yes, yes, and yes.
And
I will do that.
And bring your fangs, because we do like vampires. Bring your fangs.
Oh, I'll have to get some out there or before. They're still in the Hammer House.
Well, Pauline...
I must tell you this before you continue. I have this... I'm a fan person. He is in Scotland, and he says... I am buying some fangs, and I'm only coming to see your show later on this year. And will you bite me? I said, you gotta be kidding.
Creep.
Yes. Oh, no.
That is a 5-alarm alert there.
So I told Alan Price and Vanny, his wife, this. He said, you gotta be kidding. So I sent him the text. He said, I will have to have someone beside you when he's coming. And we need to know just in case.
You will have nothing but hugs from from us. And imaginings of you biting us. That's the extent of where we'll go.
And we're good to hug.
Well, Pauline, thank you very much for your time today. This has been an amazing conversation. Yes. We'll have this episode ready in about a week. And good luck on your films and all of your incredible success. And thank you for taking the time this morning and sharing with us these wonderful stories and anecdotes. It's been an amazing discussion. And we hope to have you back with Carolyn and everyone else.
Thank you. And yes, we would love to. And I know she would love to. And thank you for having me. And I had a great time. And I will call Miles after speaking with you and see that he gets in touch with you.
And amazing. Thank
have
you.
Have a wonderful day. Happy Easter Sunday.
Happy Easter, everyone. Al, you want to take us out?
Absolutely. And you can tell Miles that I'll sign a contract for a movie without knowing a part. God knows I've done work.
So until then,
watch horror films. Keep America strong.
Thank you, everyone. And you stay safe and be blessed. And have a wonderful, wonderful day. And bye-bye.
Take care. Bye now. Thank you.